We turn our hearts and minds now to the scriptures as we continue in our series out of the book of Acts called Let the Church Be the Church. For the book of Acts gives us the picture of the first church, which then becomes our model, our guide, and what it means to be the church. And so this morning, as we continue in our journey, we are following 2 weeks of thinking about the character of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And then last week, a man named Philip, who was led by the Spirit in amazing ways to share the gospel. Today, we continue through Acts with a focus on a man named Barnabas. Has anyone ever heard of Barnabas? A few. That's good to know, because Barnabas is actually mentioned 25 times in the book of Acts and 34 in the New Testament. He's what you might call a major minor figure in the New Testament. And today we're going to do things a little bit differently. Instead of reading the text at the beginning, we're going to actually look at 3 brief scenes in Barnabas's life as a part of the early Christian church. And we're going to read the scriptures before we move on to each of those scenes. Today, if you haven't noticed yet, is Scout Sunday. And so I have a question for our scouts. This cannot be a parent or a scout leader. Y'all got it? A question for you scouts. Can any of you scouts tell me who this man is? Oh, yes. Who? No? Anybody? Darlene. What? That's right. No, Darlene is not a Cub Scout. Yeah. She's not a Boy Scout, but she is and has been a Girl Scout. And interestingly, Lord Baden-Powell, at the turn of the 20th century, was an officer in the British Army, and then he felt God calling him to establish a group called Boy Scouts. He wrote a book called Scouting for Boys, and then he established a group along with his sister called Girl Guides, which eventually became the Girl Scouts. The more I thought about the story of Barnabas and the lessons we learned for him on how to encourage one another, I realized that scouting itself is a perfect example of learning to encourage that Barnabas teaches us. So how cool is that? Scouting Sunday and Barnabas, they just go together like what is it you say? They go together like bread and butter. Sounds good. So before we begin to dig into the story of Barnabas, I want to make sure we're all on the same page as to what encouragement actually means, what it looks like and means to encourage. So we start first with the English word, which comes, I love it, from the old French, encourager, which means to make strong or hearten. The C-O-R part in there comes from the French word for heart, cœur. And so it means to put something in someone's heart. The N comes to make or put in, and courage means courage or heart. When you go to the Greek word, it's a little bit different. The Greek word parakaleo means to call on for help, exhort, comfort, cheer up. From para, which is a preposition meaning to be beside or alongside, and kaleo, which means to call by name, to invite, to summon someone, to call alongside, para kaleo. Well, if you read the story of Barnabas throughout Acts and even in the rest of the New Testament, you will discover that if you could pick one word to describe this man, it would be encourager. That's why the apostles called him the son of encouragement. He was someone who came alongside believers in word and in deed to strengthen them, comfort them, exhort them, and invite them to a faithful and obedient life of following Jesus. How so? How did Barnabas do that in particular ways? Ways that we can learn to encourage from. Well, let's look first at our short text in Acts 4, which is the first time we are introduced to Barnabas, and we read this. Joseph, a Levite, that is, he was from the Levitical priestly line from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Bar-Nabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. We learn to encourage first by observing Barnabas's sacrificial giving. Before he even speaks a word in the story in Acts, we see Barnabas acting in tangible ways that show us how we also may encourage. Obviously, a man of wealth, Barnabas models sacrificial generosity when he sells property, some land he owns, and then gives the proceeds of that sale to the church so that they may feed those in need in the church and community. Now think about it. How encouraging would that be for this new little body of believers? I can only imagine that for the apostles to see Barnabas support him in their efforts to obey Jesus, to care for those in need, to feed the hungry, for the needy recipients to know that someone truly cared for them enough to let go of their possessions, for the watching believers to have an example of someone who demonstrated in action Jesus' sacrificial love. That's what encouragement truly looks like. And you know what? I see that kind of encouraging through sacrificial giving every week with our scout leaders. They are here every Tuesday night filling up fellowship hall and other rooms in this building working with young people. They are here on weekends when they go camping or they do other activities. They take these young men on trips in the summer. Ed just told me they're going to, not Wisconsin. Where are you going this summer? Yeah, so they're going way away. But again, they're giving of their time sacrificially, just as Barnabas gave of his possessions. And what about us as a church? Nothing encourages me more as a pastor than to see how readily and generously you have given to our ministry with the elementary school. We asked last week for monies to buy books for the children, and we've already met our goal in 1 week. Next weekend, we're going to be packing seeds to feed the hungry around the world, and we already have over 30 people signed up. Put your name on the list after worship. But those are ways in which we are already giving sacrificially. But as we seek even more to be the church, are there new ways, more creative ways, different ways that we learn to encourage from Barnabas through our own sacrificial giving of time and talent and treasure? I've been thinking for a while about what can I do with this beautiful china and crystal that I got for my wedding. Is anyone here with the same problem? We don't use that kind of stuff anymore. And I look at it thinking, Lord, how can I sell this? How can I get rid of it? Who can I give it to that would be blessed by the proceeds of selling those items? As a matter of fact, that's what our outreach time is in the process of organizing right now. We have a missions garage sale planned on March 24th. If you've walked around this church, this 60-year-old building, you'll find that there are many, 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 many items here that we no longer need or use. And so we're doing what Barnabas did. We are cleaning house. And at our mission garage sale, we will put these things up for sale and then give the proceeds to a special project at Palmasola Elementary so that children in our community can be blessed and their needs can be met. But that's not all, for we move on now to our second encounter with Barnabas in chapter 9, where we read this: when Saul, newly converted, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe that he was really a disciple. If you remember, Paul was a persecutor of the church. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey to Damascus, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him. Barnabas also told them how in Damascus Saul had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And so here we see Barnabas coming alongside. That's the literal meaning of the word encourage in Greek. And he is encouraging Barnabas by providing him with supportive connections. It makes sense that the church in Jerusalem would be a little hesitant about receiving this man who had stood there and approved the stoning of Stephen, about a man who had arrested believers and thrown them in jail. And so they're having a hard time trusting and accepting him into their fellowship. So what does Barnabas do in that situation? He comes alongside Paul to support him, to connect him with the church's leaders. Can you imagine what would have happened if that had not occurred? For it is very possible that without Barnabas's supportive connections, this powerfully gifted and newly converted man would have remained an outsider to the Christian community. What a tragedy that would have been. That same method of encouraging through supportive connections is one of Scout leaders' main goals. They don't meet on Tuesday nights and on the weekend and go camping and spend hours in the summer with these young boys and men set simply to groom a scout's individual character. They do it also to provide supportive connections, a community that is going to affirm these young men. That's why they have dens and packs and troops, and why they go to Philmont and the National Jamboree. That's why they connect these scouts with current and former scouts who are now leaders and with exemplary leaders from our community. Just this past Tuesday night, as I was getting out of my car to come into the building, there were two military officers in full dress in the parking lot. Turns out they were an Army and Air Force veterans. They were Army and Air Force veterans who were here to teach these young men about flag etiquette and how to fold the flag. But in doing that, they are also modeling and connecting with these young men just as Barnabas did. And we try to do that here at Palmasola with our Stephen ministry, where we connect people who are struggling and hurting with lay counselors and lay encouragers. We do that with Samaritan Counseling of the Gulf Coast when someone is in crisis, and we point them on to Linda Martin and other counselors who are here in our building who can give them Christian Council. We also do it at Freedom Village when Bill Toomey hosts a grief share group and connects people who have lost loved ones. Our life groups are also about providing supportive connections. I recently met with a member who's a fairly new member, and she told me that one of our life groups had reached out to her, connected her with that group, and it was so encouraging to her to be a part of a small group fellowship here at the church. So what can we do as we seek to be the church to grow even more fully into learning to encourage by offering supportive connections? Well, our Christian Ed team, under my husband Ron's lead, is looking at establishing dinner groups and other focused interest groups so that those who want to connect and to find support through those connections will have the opportunity to do that. And I think he's even trying to work on that this Sunday. So if you see him coming, talk to him about it. When we sense as a Christian body that someone is discouraged or isolated, one of the best things we can do is to encourage them by connecting them, as Barnabas did, with others who can support them on their journey. And lastly, we want to look at our third scene of Barnabas. This is now moving out from Jerusalem as the church began to spread. And we read in Acts 11 these words. Now those who were scattered by the persecution that broke out after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. They told them the good news of Jesus, and the Lord's hand was with them. And a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas, again a connector, to Antioch. When he arrived and saw evidence of the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, connecting one more time. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians, Christianoi in the Greek, at Antioch. We learn to encourage as we observe Barnabas here by his solid teaching in word and in deed as he ministers to those new Christians at Antioch. Did you notice all the layers of teaching going on there? First, by verbal affirmation and direction, Barnabas is urging them to live lives of faith. Secondly, by modeling a faithful, moral, spiritual life, Barnabas is providing perhaps the most effective way of encouraging, personal example. And thirdly, by actually teaching those fellow believers the content of their faith, Barnabas is building them up and encouraging them as followers of Jesus Christ. Is that not what scout leaders do? When they teach scouts the scout oath, the scout law, the scout motto, the scout slogan, words that are not just words on a page, but are then embodied in the lives of the leaders. And I know that because I'm married to an Eagle Scout, and he still lives by the scout law. That is exactly what we see in the life of Barnabas. And it's what we try here to do at Palmasola, to offer solid teaching both of content and of application. How do we live the words of Scripture out in our lives? We've been doing that over the past few weeks with the Apostles' Creed class that we're offering. And Ron, who was raised in the church since an infant, tells me every Saturday night how much he is learning and how much the words of this study are encouraging him. We will be doing it starting next week during Lent with a study on the Lord's Prayer called Praying with Power. One of the most encouraging things you can do is pray for someone, pray for me, pray for our elders, pray for our church. We need to know how to pray. And so I invite you to join us on the study of the Lord's Prayer between now and Easter. This is something we're always looking at. I'm always looking at as a pastor and as our work on the internal organization of the church is becoming lighter. I'm kind of returning to my sense of call to teaching that I originally had when I left seminary and came to Palmasola. And so I'm praying and thinking about how can I encourage you with the solid teaching of Scripture and what it means in our lives. So from the life of Barnabas and from the example of our scouts, we say this: let the church be the church by becoming master encouragers. I can guarantee you that there are folks sitting around you right here this morning. There are folks living next to you, folks at work, folks in the community who are so desperate for a word of encouragement in this discouraging world. As we read aloud now together several New Testament passages about encouragement, I want you to think, how can I apply these words in my life? To whom can I speak a word of encouragement? To whom can I come alongside and connect them with others? Please now take out the pink sheet that was in your bulletin this morning. We're only going to read those scriptures which are in bold, but I encourage you to take the entire list home so that you may read over them, pray over them, and ask the Lord to show you how to live them out. First, we will start with Romans chapter 1, verse 12. Let us read. May you and I be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That's what a body of believers is all about. And Paul reinforces that if you drop down now to 1 Thessalonians 5:11 as we read these words. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And then Paul moves at the end of 2 Thessalonians to a benediction about encouragement, which we're going to use at the end of our service. Read with me now. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And lastly, a word from the writer of Hebrews 10. Read along with me now. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. That is the word of the Lord for us today. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Hymns are a wonderful way. Music is a wonderful way for our hearts to be encouraged. And so I invite you now to stand and sing with the praise band. You will find me.